Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Bet Super 6 and Clint Boyer are giving away more free cash this weekend. Download the free Fox Bet Super 6 app and enter Clint's Stage 2 contest for your chance to win a $10,000 guaranteed prize. All you need to do is answer 6 questions about Stage 2 of Sunday's Cup Series race for your chance to win Clint's money.
So Eric Mangini's got 3 Super Bowl rings for the Patriots, and he's not as big on Russell Wilson as I am. He's not. I don't know what it is. I don't know. You know, he's a defensive coach, so he wants conservative play. I like my quarterbacks. I don't have a problem with interceptions. Just makes Andrew Luck threw a lot of interceptions. I'm okay. Brady's thrown pick sixes in Super Bowls. I'm okay with it. I don't like safe guys. So let's get Eric Mangini on here. So I think we should change the saying in Seattle from let Russ cook to put some heat on Pete and get rid of that outdated offense. But you've always been a little critical of Russell Wilson.
Well, first of all, I think that's a little unfair depiction of how I feel about Russell Wilson. But I don't really understand where his dissatisfaction is coming. I know Brian Schottenheimer, the offensive coordinator he had. He was my offensive coordinator in New York. He was going to let Russell Wilson have a ton of impact on the game plan. And look, the way it is, quarterbacks have a huge impact on the game plan. And then when you have a great quarterback, they have even more impact on the game plan. So now I know the new group that's in there, they're great guys. They'll let Russell have an impact on the game plan. He's won over 9 games a year every year since he's been there. And what's his unhappiness? What problem does he have? They were 12-4 last year. I don't get why he has this frustration with Pete.
Well, I mean, he's been sacked 400 times in 9 years, an NFL record. So I think what he's looking at is going, I'm getting hit a lot.
Well, here's what I'll say about that is when you have a make-something-happen quarterback who's going to move around the pocket, the offensive line has a spot where they think the quarterback's going to be. When you change that spot, the offensive line is put into a bad situation. They can't see. The D-line can. Know what else helps decrease sacks? Running the ball. And when you don't want to run the ball, you're probably going to get sacked at a higher percentage. But he has responsibility for those things as well. And he's made a lot of great plays, but that comes with a higher percentage of sacks. That's not on the all on the O-line. That's his responsibility too.
My guess is he doesn't get traded, but is there one that you look at of the four and think that's probably the best fit for him?
Yeah, as I look at those teams, I like him in Dallas. They bring back almost everybody offensively. I think they lose. They've got one guy on the offensive line who's a free agent, and you're in a division where there's no elite quarterback. You have the furthest chance to improve the team, or they 6-10 last year, and he brings something totally different to that equation than Dak does. He's so much more mobile than Dak. He's so much better at creating off timing plays. I think that would be a really good spot for him, especially considering the division.
All right, if you ran the Houston Texans today, so the general rule in sports is if a star tells you they want out, you're best to get it done behind the scenes. When they go public, especially if they have a no-trade clause, it can really limit a team. And I said this earlier, I went back to Lou Alcindor with Milwaukee, was an unbelievable player at UCLA. He went to dinner with the team and said, I don't want to stay. And they got a haul from the Lakers. Paul George went public in Indy, they got nothing. He went private in Oklahoma City and I want out, they got 5 players and a great point guard. Generally, you want to get, if a star says I'm not playing, make calls and get it done so they don't go out there and tell everybody you're not going to come back. But that's done. As they say, the horse is out of the barn on that. With all the information out there now, you ran the Texans. What would you do with Deshaun Watson?
Well, there's an issue here, and Deshaun said that loyalty is everything, And I'm sure from an ownership perspective, you're looking at it as I drafted you in the first round. I extended you 2 years prior to when I needed to, gave you $170 million. And, you know, you talk about loyalty. There's been loyalty from an organizational standpoint. And I know there's some frustration with what happened with J.J. Watt, but J.J. is at the end of his career, and he's not a quarterback in his prime who's as good as Deshaun is. It's apples to oranges. I don't think there's any thought organizationally to trading him. I think the fact that they're not taking calls and they're doing what they're doing, they're dug in. And this is going to have to get ugly on Deshaun's part for him to move the dial here. I believe what they're saying in Houston, that they're not going to trade him. And why would you? Why would you ever want to move him?
Yeah. So Brady, I just saw a story this morning that Brady is going to take another pay cut in Tampa. So, you know, it's funny. So you were there early. I don't remember his first 10 years talking about Tom Brady money. I don't even know how it went. You probably recall it. Go back to his first 10 years, his first couple contracts. Did he take the max he could get then?
No, and that's one of the things that you love about Tom. You look at him now and you say, okay, he's not going to take the top dollars. And you say, okay, he's got a lot of money. He's got a lot of success. That makes sense. But that's how Tom always has been. Like Tom, even from a very early age, understood that the more that he gets, the less the people around him can get and the less they can improve the team. And he was willing to do that. The greatest story about Tom is when he first got famous, he got a commercial, I think it was a Visa or MasterCard.
Yeah.
One of the things that he demanded was that his offensive line be in the commercial with him. He wanted to make sure that those guys got a chance to get a little bit of a taste, that those guys got some recognition. There's not many stars that say, okay, I'm not making a lot of money. I was a sixth-round draft pick. I'm finally getting a chance to get endorsements. But hold on, I want to give part of it to my offensive line. That's how he's wired, and he's done it forever. And so you may look at it now and be a little bit cynical because of how much he has, but this is who he is, and everybody around him, you know, you look at that and it makes sense for you to make some sacrifices.
Yeah. So you used to coach the Jets. I'm going to throw my theory at you.
Okay, I love your theories.
Now, they're not, as Joy says, they're not conspiracy theories. They're just my theories.
Okay.
So I run the Jets today, which is my dream job, by the way. I'd hire you back, by the way, if I could. If I was running the Jets, you bet. Yeah.
Thanks. We'd win a lot of games.
So I would stay with Sam Darnold for this reason. So I'm going to draft a Mountain West quarterback. I got to face Belichick twice a year, best defensive coach ever. Brian Flores, who looks like a rock star defensive coach. Sean McDermott, as you well know, very well respected as a defensive coach. Okay, so I've got six games a year in division with a rookie quarterback with the best, three of the top four defensive coaches in football, maybe the top three. I got to be honest with you. I would keep Darnold. I would get what I could get for the second pick, which includes, you know, I could get maybe a draft picks and a player, actually, a corner, and solve that issue. I can make a compelling argument as I don't want to go back to a rookie quarterback in that division with all those defensive coaches. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you have to look at it as not being rookie or not rookie, but being whether or not what he's done to this point has been underachieving. And, you know, we saw Tannehill with Adam Gase, and he went somewhere different, and things changed. And maybe this is the same situation for Darnold. But to have that pick and be able to trade it back for not just draft capital this year, but draft capital moving forward, if you feel like Sam Darnold can improve on what he's done, it makes all the sense in the world. And you can dramatically change the team by gathering those draft picks, both short term and long term. Now, the issue I have with Darnold is that 50-50 touchdown to interception ratio.
Yeah.
He's close to that. He was kind of that way in college,
yeah.
And you haven't seen a lot of progress. Now, that scares you with the volume of defensive coordinators that we talked about and how good they are.
Yeah.
And they've got more and more of a book on him every year that he plays.
Well, that's pretty smart there. I like that argument. That's a pretty good argument. They have more of a book on him. Okay, that's pretty good. That made sense.
That works for you. And here's the other thing I'd say is if there's a quarterback that you believe can truly be a franchise quarterback, and you've got a guy that you're uncertain on, you got to take a chance on the quarterback. You know, hopefully you won't be drafting in the spot that the Jets are drafting in, you know, anytime soon. But if that guy's there and you feel strongly about him, regardless of who you have, you got to make that move.
Did you ever draft a quarterback?
I drafted Kellen Clemens in the second round. He ended up playing 11 or 12 years in the league. Didn't quite get to where we want him to get to, but he had a long, long career.
I know. I saw him in high school.
You'd love the guy.
Oh, I know. I saw him in high school. Bend, Oregon. Dad was a rancher. He played safe. Yeah. He was an all-state safety. He was tough as a $5 steak. Tough kid. I loved him.
Tough, great kid. Great career. Yep.
Yeah. Well, Oregon people are all nice people. That's where I'm from mostly, you know.
Well, I mean, there are exceptions.
Eric Mangini, good talking to you.
Good talking to you, Colin.
All right. I actually watched Kellen Clemens in his state. He was good. He was tough. When your dad's a rancher.
Yeah.
Okay. You're basically.
You know the meaning of hard work.
Yeah. It was funny because it's funny that he drafted him because I remember I used to work for a guy that was a huge Jets fan. And he asked me about him and I'm like, I love him. But he was a classic example of he was really, really athletic, but didn't have a great support system most of his career, bounced around, didn't quite have the arm. It was weird. So I lived in the state of Oregon, tiny, tiny state, 3 million people. One of the years I lived, this is the most bizarre, I could never get over this. We had 3 of the 4 best high school quarterbacks in the country in Oregon. We had a kid named Derek Anderson. He played in the pros. Kellen Clemens and a kid named Nick Costa, who went to University of Arizona. They were 3 of the top 4. What are the chances? That would be like Rhode Island having 3 of the 4 best baseball prospects in America. And I watched them all play in high school. And that's the end of the story. There's not much more than that. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
I haven't been to Oregon yet.
Oh, it's stunning. Summer's amazing. Just for even flying in past Mount Hood, the summers are amazing in Portland.
Yes,
Central
Portland,
Oregon's
yes.
Even prettier.
It's on my list. So Tom Brady underwent knee surgery earlier this month. Pretty quietly, actually. Bruce Arians initially said it was just a cleanup, but other reports claim the procedure was a little bit more serious than that. And now Arians is giving a timeline for Brady's recovery. He said Brady should be ready for 7-on-7 field work around June.
Oh, that sounds like a little bit of an old man knee scope.
Yes. Knee scopes happen a lot.
Do they?
But, well, I mean, you gotta go in there and clean stuff up.
Well, what do you mean clean?
You don't have bad knees, so this is not.
You have bad knees?
I have one bad knee.
So you have to clean
it? No, I mean, I don't do anything that requires any kind of this kind of level of physical activity.
What do they clean
if
up?
If I go on a long walk, it's good. I mean, there's like cartilage. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. You just go in there. There's like cartilage and scar tissue and stuff that, you know, you sometimes have to clean out. I imagine, again, not a doctor, so I have absolutely no idea how this stuff works, but you did that Graston stuff.
I did that.
Yeah, I did that with my knee too, so that's really good for breaking up scar tissue. But obviously it was more advanced than that, what needed to be done. Teams usually start off-season workout programs in April and then hold organized activities in May or June, so he probably won't miss too much if he's back in June. The Boston Globe's Ben Volen said the seizure sounded a little more serious than it was reported earlier this month. It was a little bit more than a cleanup. He wore a sleeve on his left knee during the boat parade after the Super Bowl. So clearly this is something. I don't think it's
well, he's played 20 years in the league. He should be a little beat up.
Well, I think it's just because it's Tom Brady and he never has anything wrong with him.
Right.
That it's, you know, a little cautionary, but I'm not concerned he's going to come back. He's going to be fine.
I was fine till 55 and then tendonitis hit.
I was fine till 25.
What happened?
I tore my ACL and then it's just all downhill from there.
Really? Never got better?
Well, I mean, you know, when you do something like an ACL or an Achilles or something where you have to like literally learn how to walk again.
Oh, boy.
You know, you're not going to eat perfect for 8 months.
No.
Unless you're Tom Brady. So, you know, your metabolism changes. I'm a woman. That's usually when the woman stuff starts kicking in.
You mean like what?
Like the chocolate goes to your thighs and, you know, they're hips are widening a little bit.
Oh,
like,
God.
This is a lot. Stars. Women got a lot going on.
You guys really do.
We do.
We just need a razor about once a week, shave this thing. It's really easy to be a guy.
It's such a process.
It really is. So you guys go through so much stuff.
We do.
Plus, you have to deal with us. Good hell.
That's terrible. I'm not going to argue with you there. So NFL teams can avoid appearing on HBO's Hard Knocks if they either have a first-year head coach and have made the playoffs in the last two seasons, or they've been on the show in the last 10 years. So this year, there are five teams that don't meet that criteria and could be subject for the show. The Cowboys, the Giants, Panthers, Cardinals, and Broncos.
Cowboys are obviously the choice. I would say Denver. I'd like to have a camera on Drew Locke and his coolness.
I don't know. I think I got it. Obviously, the Cowboys are the number one choice there.
By the way, the Giants are boring when they're winning. Their Super Bowl teams were boring. And I got nothing against Big Blue. But the Giants are the accounting firm of the NFL. Even in a good year, when they're saving you money, you still don't want to go there.
Well, I feel boring. Like the most compelling Hard Knocks are usually when the head coach is a little wild.
Exactly. And so McCarthy is just dysfunctional enough to make it fascinating.
And it's just the Cowboys. Like, there's so many personalities. You're going to get a lot of Jerry Jones.
But you know who else I get if it's the Cowboys? Charlotte Jones.
Oh, yeah. You love Charlotte.
I think she is the smartest. Oh, Charlotte Jones was made for a television show.
The NFL Network thinks that the Jags could volunteer for an appearance.
The Jags?
They could volunteer for an appearance.
Well,
I don't know
of,
if that's a good idea.
No, I don't think.
I don't like that just because obviously it's Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence, so it would be incredible to watch. But there's a reason why they don't do this with first-year head coaches. Like, it's a whole added element to your first year with a organization, and in this case, Urban Meyer in the NFL. So it would be awesome to watch, but this is like Hard Knocks is a lot. Like, there's a whole production there doing a television show on your team while you're in training camp. So I get why they don't do it with first year head coaches. So Drew Brees hasn't actually retired yet.
Yeah, what's
he
up with
he is expected
that?
To retire this offseason.
Well, what's going on with that?
I thought he was going to announce after the Super Bowl, so I don't know. Maybe he isn't going to. They're not sure yet. I don't know. He would obviously leave the Saints in need of a new franchise quarterback, and now Russell Wilson has put the Saints on his list. Defensive end Cam Jordan asked if Taysom Hill was in line for the job, but he thinks their other backup could be the one to get the nod instead.
Jameis Winston up next, I believe, is what Sean Payton said. Sean wouldn't say, you know, he's fighting for Jameis to be back if our goal was to have Taysom. But that's again, rare instances where it's just beyond my pay grade.
Jameis Winston is a free agent this year.
You can get Jameis for not much. And I think Jameis has a much higher ceiling than Taysom Hill. So I don't think that's crazy. Plus, it's his second year in the system, which you don't think about that because he didn't play much last year.
Well, assuming they don't get Russell Wilson, I actually like Jameis in this situation. But Taysom's owed $10.7 million in base salary plus a $4 million signing bonus in 2021. He has a cap hit of $16.1 million, which is the fourth highest on the team. And remember, they're $70 million.
Yeah, they got
projected $70 million over the cap. So the Saints trade Hill, they could be looking at $4 million in dead cap hit, which is just the signing bonus.
Yeah, I think, I mean, they Jameis is their best option. Listen, if you have Jameis and Taysom Hill, you know, it's first of all, Jameis has a way better arm than Drew, and he's not going to throw 30 interceptions with Sean Payton offense. That's just not going
to
happen.
I'd like to see what Jameis can do in the system, and if you do hang on to Taysom Hill, I mean, they're going to have to make some moves. Like, they're projected $69.5 million over the cap.
They have to get rid of a big contract.
But if you're going to run it with Jameis, I would actually want to keep Taysom.
So would I. Absolutely. I'd want 12 snaps a game from Taysom.
Yeah.
I actually think Jameis and Taysom, you could make an argument with that coaching staff. It's a playoff team.
I like Taysom. I don't know if he works many places other than
that's a very good point. That's a very good point.
Like, I think they're so creative and they know his skill set so well. I don't think he's a franchise starting quarterback, but I think he works well with what Sean Payton and the Saints do.
Listen, Belichick's got guys on that roster that work for New England. Julian Edelman's not going to be that big of a star anywhere else.
Well, there's a specific kind of coach that can get the most out of a unique player. Belichick and Sean Payton are those coaches.
Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live
News.
I'm
hungry today. Could have gone for some Jersey Mike's. Wasn't that yesterday or the day before?
It's Wednesday.
Yeah. hungry.
Yeah. Well, you know, can we get Colin some snacks?
We used to have snacks. We don't have snacks
They'll
anymore.
Bring you snacks, though. You know, listen. You're Colin Cowherd. You can get some snacks.
Boom. Thank you. Say that again out loud for the people in the back.
Can we get Colin some corn nuts? So,
be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, veteran owned, serving premium coffee to people who love America. Go to blackriflecoffee.com/herd, 20% off your first order with the code. So Jason McIntyre is now joining us on Friday. Last week he was with his family. He is back and we love having him on the show, Jason McIntyre. A lot of quarterback movement this offseason, so we want to go. I want to go through some of the more notable potential moves. We do a segment called Tomorrow's Headlines Today, where you predict the headlines that will be in newspapers around America in the very near future. So let's do Tomorrow's Headlines Today. The headline for Jimmy Garoppolo this offseason.
Yeah, Jimmy G kind of under the radar, if you will. He's not getting the level of Deshaun Watson interest or Russell Wilson. But the headline will be, Washington pays a ransom for the handsome. Jimmy G to the nation's capital. Come on, how good are the headline writers here? Colin, listen, this Washington team is really set up for success. I read a gambling column for Fox Sports, and I wrote in last offseason that San Francisco's front seven was loaded with number one picks. So is Washington's, led, of course, by Chase Young. All Washington needs is a quarterback, and Ron Rivera cannot go into next season with the battle between Kyle Allen and Taylor Heineke. You just can't do that and expect to get back to the playoffs. I really believe they make a play for Jimmy G. He comes east. He's, you know, they're going to love him in Washington, D.C. And I think this Washington team is going to stick around for a while. They've got a lot of talent, especially on defense. They just need a quarterback.
Tomorrow's headlines today. What's the headline for Deshaun Watson this offseason?
Oh, gosh, Deshaun Watson. My Jets are kind of in the mix, right, Colin? The headline will be, Watson has a new rule to follow. I'm sticking with Carolina. Remember, I came on here a month ago and mentioned Carolina. It's gotten a lot of traction. I want to pivot now and talk about Carolina's owner, Colin. He's a hedge fund billionaire. You know what these hedge fund guys do. I know the circles you run in, okay? They quickly make moves. And what was the first thing he did? Ron Rivera, thank you for your service. Cam Newton. You know, we're going to release you. They love you. I believe he's going to look at the four first-round draft picks and say, man, if we could just part with four first-round picks and get Deshaun Watson, let's look at our last four first-round picks in Carolina. Derek Brown, Brian Burns, DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey. Colin, if I told you those four picks for Deshaun Watson, you're doing that in a heartbeat. Like, on some level, Colin, and I know a lot of draft guys will push back, unless your top pick is in the top five, it doesn't have the value and the cachet that it really does, a first-round pick. So if I'm Carolina, I quickly say, hey, you want three ones and McCaffrey? Done. You want four? Give us Watson. I believe it's a great fit. Matt Rhule, Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator, and Deshaun Watson. Good things ahead in Carolina.
All right, tomorrow's headlines today. What's the headline for Russell Wilson this offseason?
Oh, boy. Russell was a great story. Your buddy, right? You know, I'm sure you guys will be texting all weekend.
Yeah.
The headline will be getting dangerous in the Big D. Colin, Russell Wilson to Dallas. This will be probably the biggest NFL story maybe for the next 5 years. Russell Wilson and Jerry Jones. I mean, this is a match made in heaven, is it not? If I am Jerry Jones, he's 78 years old now. Okay. This guy needs to get to a Super Bowl. Colin, their last Super Bowl trip 25 years ago. Their Super Bowl drought can drive a rental car. That's how long it's been for Dallas. I just call up and I say, what do you want? You want two ones and Ezekiel Elliott? Because, Colin, remember, and I know people are going to say, oh, running backs don't matter. Pete Carroll has made it very clear he wants to run the football and win with defense. Legion of Boom, game manager Russell Wilson. Obviously, you're going to lose Wilson here, but you get the running back, and Pete Carroll can go back and 3 yards in a cloud of dust. We've been hearing for a few years, like, let Russ cook, let him cook. And Pete Carroll says, no, I want to run the football. That's safer. Well, you get Ezekiel Elliott and you lose Russ. Russell Wilson to Dallas, Colin. That is an incredible offense in Dallas.
Don't disagree. Tomorrow's headlines today, Jameis Winston this offseason. What's the headline?
Okay, well, I just took a quarterback away from Seattle, so I'm giving Jameis Winston. The headline will be making it rain interceptions. come on, we had to have fun. Now, honestly, Pete Carroll has made it very clear he did not want Russ throwing a lot. And I know you've seen the movie The Usual Suspects, right? Yeah. There's all these breadcrumbs with Kevin Spacey leading up to the end, no spoiler alert, and you just miss them throughout the movie. I have somehow missed this Pete Carroll disrespect of Wilson because he wants to just have a quarterback to hand it off. So you save money, right, with Jameis Winston. You don't have to pay him a lot, and you rebuild that defense. Get the Legion of Boom back because think about it, okay? This team is a couple young players, and they don't have that much talent. That's the dirty little secret in Seattle. DK Metcalf is 23, Jamal Adams, 25. And other than that, there isn't a lot of talent. I think Jameis Winston comes in, you save money, you rebuild the defense, you hand it off to Zeke. Seattle can do some damage.
Tomorrow's headlines today. What's the headline for Dak Prescott this offseason?
All right. So, Colin, what are we doing with Dak Prescott? It is a very difficult fit. The Bears are interested. The headline will be not his first rodeo, Dak Prescott and Denver. Colin, I know your mind is blown at this moment. Let me just say, the Denver Broncos actually have the cap space, fifth most cap room, to absorb Dak Prescott. They have not had a franchise quarterback since John Elway, okay, over 20 years ago. I don't want to hear about Jay Cutler. And you look at the weapons in Denver, Cortland Sutton coming back from injury,
yep.
Jerry Jeudy, who couldn't really click with Drew Lock because, Drew Lock's not very good. KJ Hamler, you got the running back Melvin Gordon, the tight end Noah Fant. Colin, this Denver team is a bit of a sleeper if they can get a quarterback. I think Elway makes a play for Dak Prescott, and they finally get their franchise quarterback. And now you get Justin Herbert, okay, Dak Prescott, and Patrick Mahomes in the AFC West. That's a really strong division. I know you love that one, Colin, don't you?
Well, I'm not a Drew Lock fan, and I would say, to be honest with you, Dak is the opposite of Drew Lock. He's mature. He plays with urgency. He doesn't turn the ball over. Dak does a lot of things I love, and Drew Lock does dissimilar things that drive me nuts. Dak answers a lot of the maturity issues I have with Drew Lock. That's interesting.
Great point.
Yeah, I haven't. Denver's got a lot of, and I do like Denver's weapons. And their whole line was actually not terrible last year.
Not terrible. Yeah, Mark Schlereth has been talking about them. They're improving. And remember, they're going to lose Von Miller, right? They're cutting bait with him. So they're going to have a lot of room to spend. And when there's only one quarterback in Dak, I think you go out and get him. And the Denver Broncos are suddenly very good again.
Good stuff. Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. He's got a podcast every morning. Good talking to you, buddy.
Hey, congrats on the improved health, buddy.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, joy's back. I'm in a better mood. You know everything. Sometimes driving is great, sometimes not. When it's not, get Michelin wiper blades. Last 2 times longer than other blades. Get yours today on Amazon Prime. All right, we're done for the week, Joy. God, we can only hope next week's this good.
It's a wild week.
It was great. They carried
us. Maybe we'll
us.
Get like the moves next
this
week.
This is usually the slowest week of the year. There's like 3 weeks of the year that are dead. February, the second, third week, fourth week of February. Great.
You get
today.
NFL free agency now. It's amazing.
It's amazing. All right. Speak for Yourself is around the corner. Joy and I are going to go. We're just going to go our separate ways and have so much fun this weekend. And we'll see you Monday.